Now let's just take communication in its simplicity, and we find out then that duplication and communication are very closely dovetailed. See, to get a perfect communication, you have to have a perfect duplication. This explains an awful lot of behavior and activity and so forth, but it's all junior to space as a viewpoint of dimension. That's a more important definition even than communication. But here we have cause at the source point. The source point of any communication is elected to be cause. That is cause, source point. And effect is over here at the receipt point. Cause across the distance to effect. Any cause is obviously cause so long as it is not effect. See that? In other words, if any source point continued to persist, boy, would it be cause. You see that? You couldn't make nothing out of it. So that's merely the test of what this survival is. This thing is something that nobody can make nothing out of. Obviously, by test, we just assume there must have been a lot of people trying. And the reason we assume this is because a thetan is essentially nothing. To duplicate a thetan completely, you would have a nothing. See, you would have actually merely potentials of creation, potentials of observation, potentials of space. But to duplicate a thetan, as far as space and objects and masses are concerned, you'd have nothing. All right. Okay. Anytime a thetan became obsessed with communicating, he would be obsessed with being duplicated, wouldn't he? So if he's obsessed with being duplicated, therefore a nothingness would occur. Anytime a thetan actually insists on being duplicated, he can only affect it by causing nothingness to occur at the point. So obviously this thing which has gone on and on and on, an object which has continued and continued and continued and continued and continued and continued, it obviously has bested thetans themselves. It's bested the gods and devils of all the world. So therefore, the thing itself must be caused. It is a somethingness which is caused, because it has not had nothing made out of it. Just the continued persistence of it then seems to demonstrate to any beholder that it is itself cause. That is, because it observably has not been an effect. It's not been the effect of a thetan, because it's not nothing. So anything which has persisted for a long time can be elected to be cause. Therefore, if your mother kept nagging at you about your shoes, you must shine your shoes, you must shine your shoes, she didn't ever spank you, she didn't ever hit you, she merely mentioned it every time she saw you putting on your shoes, she merely mentioned it every morning over breakfast and every evening when you went to bed, and she did this for 3 or 4 years, anytime you thought of shoes, just mama. It's the only thing that would appear. You couldn't even think the thought shoes. You'd think mama. You get a complete short circuit. You'd start to think of shoes, mama. See? Because obviously the cause in this case is mama. Because she persisted. Only because she persisted. Not because she had aesthetic quality. Not because she was kind. Not because she was anything. It's just because she kept going. Now we get create, survive, destroy. As an individual begins to falter, he begins to duplicate more and more just those things that are surviving. He believes that he himself cannot create. He believes he himself cannot destroy. But he believes he can survive. In other words, he falls away from the create and destroy equally, at once. As an individual loses power and loses individuality, he begins to fall away from create and from destroy and begins to centerline it. He starts getting up there toward the middle of that curve, which is survive. He begins to persist. And the end of it all is just continual persistence, on and on and on and on, as a form. In other words, he can't create, he can't destroy, but he can survive. And that dogged, apathetic solution is what is dogging any preclear you'll ever process. He can't create. He can't destroy. He knows that. Somebody has wronged him and ruined him and taken everything away from him. He can't destroy that person. He can survive, however. And in order to survive, he has to have persistent forms. Definition of survival is persistence. So he has to be in a persistent form. So he gets to a point where he goes down the time track simply looking for persistent forms to be. And this is his answer. He looks for persistent forms to be. And anything which is persisting greater than himself is senior to himself and can deliver commands to him. Now, and just in a breath, that's the condition of your preclear, the condition of anybody that has anything wrong with him. He has gotten into forms which he hoped would persist, and he is taking orders from anything which he considers to have a senior survival value to that form which he now is engaged in being. He's just trying to persist. He rather apathetically, he doesn't have any real goals. He's just pegging on down the track somehow or other, trying to persist as a form. The final end of all of this is a rock. Sure, he could become a rock and just sit there for a long time. But here you have, in essence, what's happening to him. Anything which is continuing to persist can give him orders. So let's look at this stuff out here, this dirt. Let's look at the photons. Let's look at the particles which are flying through space and discover that the messed universe has as its definition for its energy conservation. Conservation of energy. That tells you why a physicist sooner or later goes mad. Every piece of energy in this messed universe has been elected senior to him. It's senior. It persists. Physics can convince you utterly that that energy can never be destroyed. It can be converted, but it can never be destroyed. There isn't a single electron, there isn't a proton that can be banished or made into nothing. You can't make those things into nothing. So they're senior, so you've got to take orders from them. Conservation of energy, that is the hue and cry, that is the battle call and the death knell of our modern society. Conservation of energy, persist as a form. Persist, persist. Patch up the form because you'll never have another one. Don't ever waste anything. Hold on to what you've got. Save, save, stall, stall. Somehow or other, get through just on the sheer pressure of persisting. Of course, you can persist in better states, but you just better persist, whatever you do. Well, you can't do anything else as a Thetan but persist. You're going to persist all the way down the track. And you don't even have to make an effort at it. But the forms which you associate with may disappear. But that isn't even a good reason why your knowingness about those forms should disappear. Well, let's take these image pictures again. Brother, can they persist? You know, you can pick up an image picture 76 trillion years old. Does it persist? Yes, because it's the product of something which has in it no time. It is the product of a timeless thing, a Thetan. A Thetan does not have time. You only have time where particles and spaces are involved. So the persistence of the image picture gives the image picture the command value over the Thetan. One of the first major breakthroughs on this was the material there which is contained in Scientology and New Science. That is a major breakthrough. Why? You can make nothing out of some of those pictures, believe me. And all that book is about, it tells you how to make nothing out of pictures. The anatomy of that in Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health is what is important. As far as energy behavior is concerned, there's another book that's called Scientology 880. It's a life force, an examination of it. Principles of energy, which I don't think will ever be covered again, are in that book. But where this image picture is concerned, you are, of course, dealing with energy that Thetan has created. And he believes that having created it, he now is not going to make nothing out of it. You know, he isn't going to make nothing out of it. But the major breakthrough was when we could make nothing out of an image picture. That, above all else, was timeless. Yep, but we could make nothing out of it by running an engram. But there were a lot of people that this didn't work on. And there were far, far too many image pictures. So better therapies had to be located. But we had a fair security right there. We at least could make nothing out of an image picture. Now, we'd located it, which was important, isolated it, examined it, and had methods to make nothing out of it. That was quite a step forward. But there are much bigger steps forward. Let's take the anatomy of this create, survive, destroy, and take a look at it in terms of image pictures. An individual believes that these image pictures are senior to himself. Why? Because they're surviving and he keeps changing his form. They don't change their form. They just go on and on. And so they're senior to him. So they can give him orders. And the image pictures of other people, people who are seeing delusions and people who are in pain and so forth, these things are obviously senior to him because he can't make nothing of those. Particularly is he unable to make nothing of those. The image pictures which belong to other people, which are driving them into a berserk rage and doing all sorts of things with them. So the best thing to do, he thought, was just forget it and not look at them anymore and just skip the whole thing. That was the attitude of psychology. But it's not a healthy attitude because that's how they become powerful. Forget them. Say they're not there anymore while they're staring you right in the teeth. Let them bite any time they want to. Don't do a thing to protect yourself from them. Make it a big contest. In other words, by saying, well, there's something else and we can't do anything about it and they're persisting and so forth because their orders continue to come through. Senior survival. Now let's wrap this up as an auditor, get a good grip on it, because it's the backbone of any processing you will do. You are trying to change the preclear's mind in one particular, that objects and spaces are senior to him. You receive this preclear believing that objects and spaces are senior to him. Almost any form, almost any piece of energy, almost any space is senior to him, much less any person. It goes from there into anybody is senior to me, a dog is senior to me, anything, see. He gets down to his point, to this point where he believes his own survival is so perilous that anything is senior to him. That is, anything that survives better than he does can give him orders. So we find him in this condition. Therefore, we find him in a condition where he believes everything is safe but him. Anything is safe but him. If you want to desensitize this aberrated condition, then you will discover those things most pertinent to the life of the preclear, which, with regard to his state, can be, you might say, altered in their survival value. You could demonstrate to him, for instance, by just finding places where his car was safe. You ask him to keep finding places where his car is safe, and then have him find, if you want to turn it around and run a bracket, you can even run a bracket on it, have the car find places where he's safe. And you just keep asking for this back and forth. Safe, what do you mean? Survival, of course. Endurance, endure. Where could this endure? But you don't have to qualify it for the preclear. And you just say, where was the car safe and safe and safe and safe and safe? Well, up to this time, he's been awfully worried about this car. His attention has been very fixed on this car. He always had to have it polished and its grease changed long before it needed it. And he worries about the motor. He drives it down the street. He listens for little sounds that might tell you. Oh, he just worries and worries and worries. Well, if you ran this process half the way through, he'd say that, car. Just like that. Oh, it was a horrible car. See, it's terrible. I'd take it and run over a cliff. And if you just left him there, he'd kind of stay in that frame of mind for his car, because this is the most fundamental thing there is. It's a very stable thing to process, and where you leave it, there it stays. It'll get a little tiny bit better, but that's about all. All right, we process this car just a little bit longer. Let's find places where your car is safe some more. Now they have you find places where the car would think you were safe. Do that for a little more. And he says, the car, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with the car. Cars. I can always get a car. Darn things, they don't last very long. And his ability to drive would have altered markedly. Quite remarkable. Now, if this fellow's had several automobile accidents, while you're running the car, he will simply spot the car in the places where the accidents occurred without ever noticing that he's done this. Any place he's had a heavy impact with a vehicle, he'll start spotting his car there. Now, he doesn't have to think about it or recognize it. He'll blow a spot in space. What's so important about a spot in space? Of all things, that is the one thing which persists. The second you get space, you certainly got a spot in space, and you can't make that spot quit by any means which has been known to man or beast. Simply because here was Earth, and Earth got collided with. There was a spot in space where Earth was in collision with something else. Earth can be gone, the other planet can be gone, the sun could be gone, this galaxy could be gone, and there would still remain what? The spot in space where the collision took place. And so that one has a senior survival value, which all life recognizes with a complete apathy. I never would have caught on to it myself if I hadn't started observing animals and men with regard to spots. I have seen a pilot in a perfectly clear channel avoid a spot where a ship was wrecked. The ship's not there anymore. He just steers around it. Why, that thing's really there. Ships aren't there anymore. Nothing's there that had reminding me of a collision, but that spot's there. He knows about it. He avoids it. Dog hit by a car avoids the spot in space. The objects are all missing there. There's no objects left there to remind him of any such spot, really. But he picks it out as a spot in space. What's puzzling about it isn't the right spot, because the Earth is turning at 1,000 miles an hour. So the spot's someplace else. Also, the Earth is moving on a straight line. The whole solar system is moving in a finite direction, so the spot in space is way back that away someplace. But nevertheless, it does just enough just to say, well, that's the spot in space. Because in the final analysis, who the devil made the space? If he didn't make it, who agreed with it and matched it? It was the Thetan, so he's really at liberty to say, well, that is the spot in space, pointing over to the aisle where the Lusitania went down, and say, boom, it has now run. All you have to do is spot a spot in space accurately, and you get a release of something, because this is an essential communication. Communication is cause across the distance to effect. Any impact can be cause. All right. As we look over the problem with the preclear, then, we are dealing with the problem of senior survivals. And of all of these survivals, we find the seniorest in terms of space, energy, objects, and so forth, are spots in space. In terms of space. But there's one senior to that, and that is, of course, a viewpoint which itself makes space, from which all other things derive. And that is the most senior there is. But as far as space is concerned, as far as this universe is concerned, the most persistent thing in it is the spots where things happened. Not the energies that they happened with, but the spots where they happened. So you ask an individual where things are safe. You ask him to spot actual positions, and he's doing several things at the same time. Now, where do we have any conflict here or any upset? Will anything hold up this therapy as you process? Well, yes. The individual is sort of death against making any space. Because he said, I don't have to make space. I can just know. And he will run into a downscale harbor of knowingness and make no more space and just sort of clutch everything to him and say, well, I'm here and I'm perfectly safe and I know what I know. That's all I want to know, and I don't want any more to do it. You'll find this fellow at about anywhere from 0 to about 1.0 on the tone scale or below that. You'll also find it up the top of the tone scale. An individual has the potentiality of making space, making energy, making objects, and he just doesn't do so. He can, but he doesn't. Actually, his knowingness is cut into the moment he makes his first piece of space. Just as easy as that. Makes a piece of space, it makes him stupid. Now, you can ask him pretty clear when he's exteriorized to be. You can find for him and ask him to be the first piece of space. You ask him to be that space and ask him to be himself. And be the space and be himself. And be the space and be himself back and forward. And you will turn off a lot of his dullness, his feeling of stupidity. The space, you see, it means that he's here and he'd have to go over there to find out what was over there. He'd have to look in order to find out what's there. Knowingness is above all this. So we have a scale, and this scale is like this. He goes from knowingness, and that's the top level of the scale. And as soon as some space is made, we get lookingness. Because lookingness and making space, same thing. See, viewpoint of dimension. You've got to have lookingness to have space. All right. So look is the next one on down. Well, now, when a person looks and he puts out a little energy to look at, to make sure that he's looking, that's his first drop down from knowingness. The next point on that is emote. He can get sensation by doing this. He can move things away from him and move them toward him and synthesize sensation if he's made the proper postulates. So he gets down to where he gets a little more energy in a little less space, you might say, and he's got emotion. Then there's the whole range of emotion going down into the heavier emotions, and all that, by the way, is thoroughly represented by the first tone scale as given in Science of Survival. We get down to the bottom there in that rank as we go down, and there's several places you'll find this material. You probably know it. It starts up there with serenity and comes on down. It comes down finally through enthusiasm, boredom, antagonism, anger, fear, grief, and apathy. And it's in that categories it comes down. It's getting more and more dense. Now, that's what's the characteristic of it. It's getting more and more dense. And now we get it much more dense than apathy, and, of course, we've got matter. You can actually make solid matter that way. Now, in other words, this is condensation. Now, after an individual falls out of even making matter, he gets into what we call thinkingness. And this you'll find pre-clears in continually. Figure, 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 figure. They don't know. They have to think so they can find out. It's a covert method of knowing. You know, figure, 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 figure. You find people going around in circles half their lives trying to figure out what is going to happen and why it isn't going to happen and whether it should happen or something of the sort. And it never will happen. They've just merely made the assumption that something's going to happen. Now, we go down below that, and we get eating. What's eating doing down there? Well, boy, this is having to borrow somebody else's space and attention. You haven't got any attention of your own left when you get down to eating. That's the body. It has to depend on somebody else looking before it can have any energy. Somebody else has to look before it can have energy? Fantastic. And yet that's the state it's in. It has to eat to live. And that's the agreement it's going on. And we get down below that. When there isn't enough to eat, sex comes in. We've got to persist in another form. And sex is the method of persisting in another form. So sex is down there at a terrific condensation level. Oh, it's terrifically condensed. So on the subject of sex, an awful lot of things can identify. Also on the subject of eating, a lot of things can identify. In other words, they're so dense, they're so close together, there's no telling what's cause and what's effect and what's communication in that mess. Anyhow, so you're liable to find sexual misidentifications where there should be differentiation. Homosexuality and this sort of thing is a person comes along and tries to make good a complete duplicate on a communication line. He's gotten so frantic on the thing. The test of this, by the way, is you can take a colony of people and cut their food down to a point where they can't possibly survive. Why does sex belong at this low point on the scale? Why is it below food? Well, you can cut their food down so they know they can't survive, or you can give them such bad food they can't survive, and they'll start to procreate like the devil. They'll have more babies. And if you give them real good food, why, they, of course, will slow down on baby production. Quite interesting. That's what's the matter with India and China today. People think you are going to interrupt their procreation, even vaguely, by simply waving a magic wand or a magic hypodermic needle, as the U.S. Department of Public Health thinks it's going to do someday. Can't do it. Isn't enough food. If you flooded the country with food, they'd slow down on sex, but not until. Now, that's an actual test. You'd say, but look, reasonably, if there's less food, why, of course, you'd raise less children because you wouldn't be able to... As a consequence, the working class, which is under duress, economic duress, that class which is under economic duress rather than the working class, tends then to produce far more children than those classes which aren't under economic duress. Give a guy enough to eat and he'll quit on sex entirely. That's because he can continue to survive as his own form. But look, it isn't necessary that these things be discounted or thrown away or something of this sort. There's kind of something else, too. Sex does have this happy thought. Look, we don't have to keep this form going forever. It's the big joke, you see. By this communication system called sex, have another form and jump the track and go on and pick up a new form. Which isn't a bad solution. So sex stays around as kind of a hectic and interesting thing and highly aberrative and so forth. There have even been entire psychotherapies manufactured solely out of the subject of sex. Completely unwarranted to go to such a distance. But you can explain almost anything by anything as closely identified as sex. You get any energy, knowingness, and so forth packed down that solid, and of course it'll just short circuit. You put a datum in at any side of it, and the datum will short circuit to any other side of it. so naturally explain anything by sex. You could actually explain anything by a rock. Particularly, could you explain everything by a rock? If you were to try to run an electrical current through a rock and make a thinking machine out of the rock and so forth, you'd find out that regardless of where you hooked in electrodes, everything would simply short-circuit everything else. And that doesn't sound like a very good thinking machine, does it? Well, ask your preclear sometime what things he can be, and getting to be things one after the other, he'll eventually get to be some heavy object, like a rock or something of the sort. And at this moment, boy, will he be stupid. He'll feel so stupid. This is incredible that anybody could be that stupid. What is this? What is IQ? IQ would be a gradient scale of knowingness. Let's just take then and call it more accurately a gradient scale of knowingness, which starts in with pure knowingness, which is not influenced by space or energy. And then let's go into that knowingness, which is already influenced and cut down by space. And then we get into a lower level, that knowingness which is cut down by space and energy. And then that knowingness which is dropped to a point of where it's cut to practically nothing by the continuous existence of practically no space and tremendous quantities of energy. And when you get down to that low solid object, boy, do you get stupidity. And that curve, as we would see that gradient scale, and the no down to sex gradient scale, and the IQ of the individual and his ability, all those things are parallel. And we can just draw them that way and take a look at them, and we can see pretty well what ails preclear. This guy comes in, he's talking all the time about sex. Boy, you know, everything he seems to have just goes into sex somehow or another. Well, you can expect this guy to be identifying like mad. You know, mother is grandfather, is the house, is the pig pen, is so on. He's just jammed onto something that's that compressed. Now let's say we have somebody who talks all the time about eating. They come in, they talk about eating today. I had a restaurant last night and there's just spaghetti and there's eating and eating and the way to raise a suckling thing so that you can eat it and, you know. You'd expect that guy to be fairly well identified too, but you wouldn't find him very worried about sex, but you would find him very, very concerned on anything related to the domestic scene. You know, the domestic scene would be sort of balled up, but he wouldn't be in terribly bad shape, really. Now, there's a step just above eating that I left out of the scale, so I want to talk about it specifically, and that's symbols. Symbols. Symbol is condensed thinkingness. Looking is, you might say, a top level in terms of perception, but when we get down to where we can't look anymore, we've got thinkingness. And when we've got a guy who can't even think anymore, he's got to condense his thinking, and that's symbols. And when you consider that words can be pressed into these image pictures, and that these image pictures can echo on words, boy, you've had it. Symbols. There are people's going around. They go around in circles. If you want to start hitting something that's real hot on a preclear, where are your mother's words safe? Keep asking him that for a while. It's terrific, because they have terrific persistence, and they're condensed thinkingness. They do all of the thinking for them. Most people go around simply thinking with words. They don't ever think at all. That's a perfectly safe process, the idea of where are your mother's words safe. But more important than this, where are image pictures safe? Where are these image pictures safe? And there is a very important process. But of course, above all these is where are viewpoints safe. But where are image pictures safe will very often unburden and fix up the case of a preclear who isn't getting up easily or really couldn't even envision what a viewpoint was. Okay.